What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. And moving forward, guess what? This is true. Virtual season is over, folks. I'll be getting their inside knowledge from the sidelines once again about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, the exclusive home of this super short run, yet super essential podcast for the month of August. And we're back. After a prolonged programming break, there were a lot of factors contributing to it, but we're back, and that's what matters. Sadly, though, we are coming to the end of this super short run of this podcast, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. Knowledge was dropped, contacts were made, and championship-winning tidbits were spoken. But just because we're headed to the end, only a few podcasts left, that doesn't mean I'll be phoning it in. Well, I guess technically I will be phoning it in. There are phone interviews, but you get what I mean. The quality will be peaking. I'm using the peak end theory, and we're going to have some absolute fire to close this thing out. And that includes today. I dialed up Art Stapleton. You can find him at @Art_Stapleton on Twitter. He's the New York Giants beat reporter for the Record Sports and NorthJersey.com, which is part of the USA Today network. This is a big deal that Art is back on this podcast. He was the guy who agreed to be my first interview way back in 2018. He got this podcast rolling. So if you like this podcast, you need to follow Art and give him some love. I know I'm eternally thankful for him agreeing to do it and getting the wheels in motion. Art is about to give us the inside scoop on Giants training camp and deliver the definitive guide to the 2020 New York Giants. He squeezed me in on his way to the Giants scrimmage. There's literally no one better to talk to about this team than him. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Art Stapleton.
Hello, Art.
Hey, David. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm okay.
Thank you for talking with me once again.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
You were gracious enough to be my first guest 2 years ago. You got this podcast up and rolling. So, I mean, I owe it all to you, Art, and I'm happy to talk to you again.
Well, I think you're being too kind, but absolutely. We'll see what we can drum up this time.
Well, let's get right to it. This team is now piled up to practices, and you've had your eyes on them long enough for a decent sample size. I believe you're even on the way to the Giants scrimmage, so we're that deep into camp. What are your biggest takeaways for this offense as we head to the end of August and extremely close to week one?
You know, I think if they stay healthy, they have a lot of skill positions. I think, you know, what we've seen so far from Jason Garrett is a lot of Saquon Barkley, which I think will make a lot of fantasy football fans happy. A lot more in the passing game. You know, I think their wide receivers are talented. It's just a matter of staying healthy. And when you consider Daniel Jones last year did not play one snap with Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, and Saquon Barkley on the field at the same time. Health is probably the number one deterrent to making this Giants offense go.
Art, you've covered the NFL for a long time now, and we've had this shortened training camp. It's a little bit different than years past. Do you feel like, you know, the teams are going to be ready for week one, or is the product that's going to be on the field? I mean, what should we expect as fantasy gamers? Are these guys going to be at their peak, or is it going to be developing as the season goes?
You know what? It's a tough read, David, because most years, the first four games, it's tough to say whether or not teams are going to be at full strength, whether they're going to be hitting on all cylinders. So I think from a fantasy owner's perspective, the hard part is predicting which defenses will be stronger in the beginning of the year, because I think that ultimately will dictate who you go with. You know, if you're looking at the Giants and you're going up against Pittsburgh, Chicago, and then you also have the Rams in the first four games, you know, you may be looking at it going, all right, maybe I'm going to shy away a little bit early on in the season with the Giants, to see where they're at offensively before I start plugging these guys in.
Absolutely. Normally, I like to do a little quick review of the team from last year before we talk more about this offense in 2020. But the Giants have gone through a regime change with head coach Pat Shurmur out and Joe Judge and offensive coordinator Jason Garrett in. We have a decent idea of what Garrett likes to do. But from what you've seen in camp, what can we expect from this offense in terms of schemes or formations? Can you help fantasy gamers get an idea of what this offense will look like on the field?
You know, we really haven't gotten that close a look, to be honest, in terms of schematically what the Giants are going to want to do. I mean, I do think they're going to want to take advantage of some power running inside. I think they believe if Nick Gates, first-time center, by the way, can win that center's job, I think they believe with Will Hernandez at left guard, Kevin Zeitler at right guard, and Nick Gates at center, they have a pretty good trio to kind of open up a little bit of a power and inside zone team run game. And I think that should excite Saquon Barkley, because as we know, if he gets to that second level, it's usually goodbye, so long, farewell, Saquon's in the end zone. I mean, I believe in the first 2 years of his career, no one in the NFL has had more 50-plus yard touchdowns than Saquon. You know, I think the problem with the wide receiver aspect is that they're all going to kind of share it a little bit. Jones has been spreading it around a lot. So on 1 week, if you're in a you know, PPR league, you know, you may see Tate go nuts and Shepard not do much, or Slayton have a big game and then the next game he doesn't do much. So to me, Garrett's offense, you want to look traditionally, you say the quarterback, the running back, and then the tight end, right? So I think Evan Ingram, again, with health as a big question mark, if Evan Ingram is healthy, I think ultimately when gamers look at this team, he will be the one guy that everyone, if you draft and he's healthy, you're going to say, man, I nailed that one.
This is why we're here, Art. Thank you so much. Well, before we talk more about Ingram, let's talk about quarterback Daniel Jones a little bit more. He had a rocky first year for the Giants in terms of real football and in terms of fake football as well. While he did have 3 games of 4 or more touchdowns, the rest of his 12 starts were 2 or under. Only 5 of his starts went for over 300 yards passing. He also offered a pretty low floor for rushing as well, with under 300 yards total, despite the fact that I think he's fairly athletic. How has Jones' camp been, and what can fantasy gamers expect from him in 2020? I know he's got a tough schedule ahead that plays a factor as well.
You know, I think Jones was probably more productive fantasy-wise if you caught him on the right week than maybe anyone would have anticipated. I mean, he was a rookie who started a lot sooner than I think anyone expected, breaking in that first week against Tampa, and then the ceiling was set so high. I mean, I think that was the day he had 3 passing touchdowns and 2 rushing touchdowns, so all of a sudden it was, okay, maybe we got something here. I do think you're going to see a better and a more consistent Daniel Jones in year two. I think Giants fans would like to look at Jason Garrett's offense and say, boy, could Jones follow in the footsteps of a Tony Romo and a Dak Prescott when they were at their best? I think if the Giants, the one thing is that they're likely going to be behind in some games here. So if you're a fantasy owner and you're looking at Daniel Jones, you may say, you know what, I'm going to scoop up points late in the game because the Giants are going to be throwing a lot. Plus, they have backs in Saquon and Deion Lewis who are very good third down backs. So 4-minute or a 2-minute offense in which Jones can kind of freelance, like you said, maybe run a little bit. So I think Jones is going to be a sleeper. It would not shock me to see Daniel Jones as a top 12 quarterback this season before all things are said and done. And then when he gets those games against Washington, you kind of put him in the lineup and you say, man, I may get a top 5 quarterback this week because he shredded the Redskins last year.
Do you feel like Jones has improved this year versus last?
You know, again, I know it's early and it's hard to say. Until, you know, the guy hasn't even gotten hit yet, you know, and with no exhibition games, there's a chance he's not going to get hit by a player in another jersey until September 14th when they play the Steelers. But what I do know of Daniel Jones is, you know, most guys want to build on their success. I think Daniel Jones went to work on his weaknesses this offseason. And I think as a quarterback, And as someone who needs to take over a franchise like he's trying to do with Eli Manning here with the Giants, I think that's kind of what you want to see. I mean, that fits the MO of what Joe Judge wants with this entire organization. But I think that's what you have to like about Jones, is that he didn't shy away from the idea that, look, he turned the ball over a ton last year. Fumbles and interceptions, even though he only had 12 interceptions, he only made 12 starts. So 12 interceptions and 12 starts, it's still an interception a game if, you and I are math experts. So I think from Jones's perspective, it's more awareness in the pocket and see if they can get going early, especially up front. I think he'll have a good season.
Let's talk about the guys that Jones will be throwing to next. The fantasy echo chamber is all over the map with these Giants receivers. I think most have Darius Slayton as the guy to draft. Others prefer Sterling Shepard for the value as his ADP is a bit later. And then there's Golden Tate, who's always been a producer. You've mentioned they might be hit or miss week to week, but is there a target hierarchy that you can expect to play out on the field this year?
Well, I don't think you can mention a target hierarchy again without mentioning Ingram. I know we'll talk about him in a little bit, but Ingram and Saquon will take away targets from the receivers. I truly believe that. So in that case, you mentioned ADP. I do believe that ADP right now for Darius Slayton, I'm not sure if you're going to get the production week to week from Slayton that his ADP will suggest, just based on, I think the expectations are a little high for Slayton right now. You know, last year he was a rookie, fifth round draft pick, who no one really counted on much early on. He missed the first two games with a hamstring injury, and then he just had great chemistry with Jones. But does he really elevate to a wide receiver one spot? I'm not so sure. I love the talent, and I love the kid, and I like the quarterback-wide receiver combo. But I just think that I would have Shepard and Slayton together, and maybe Tate, especially if it's a PPR league, I would have Tate one spot behind. Shepard's going to get a lot of targets. It's just a matter of, you know, look, he had the concussions last year. It was definitely a scary situation. And I think that would be what holds him back from really becoming the number one guy on this team, is that you just don't know week to week if he has a concussion, because he's such a physical wide receiver. He likes digging in, plays a lot inside, likes to be aggressive in the run game. That would concern me with Shepard, but I got to be honest, I would much rather get Shepard. If I'm getting Shepard 2 to 3 rounds after Slayton, I could hear a lot of complaints in the echo chamber about, man, Darius Slayton, when's he going to have a big game? I'm still waiting. You know, he's only getting 5 for 60 every week, and he's just not scoring the touchdowns. So if I'm looking at that, I would think Slayton goes a couple rounds ahead of Shepard, and then maybe Tate on the heels of that. I would find my sweet spot with Shepard, cover him up with someone else knowing that the injuries are there, but that's kind of where I would go. It doesn't mean I don't like Darius Slayton, and by midseason I might look foolish, and you may have drafted a lottery ticket, and Slayton all of a sudden is putting up big numbers week to week. But I'm not sure that's going to happen right out the gate. And if I'm giving you advice as fantasy owners, I don't want to sell you a bill of goods on Slayton, and then week three you're saying, Art, you're killing me. The guy just hasn't gotten in the end zone yet.
Well, as the host of this podcast, I'm going to back you up, Art. I do believe that Shepard is the guy to own there. I think a lot of Slayton's boom weeks were without Shepard in the lineup. Am I wrong on that?
No, that's true. And like I said before, I mean, you know, that's why it's also hard to get a read of what the targets will be. Not only do you have a new offensive coordinator, but also these guys were never on the field together last year. So, and that goes across the board. I mean, Saquon was hurt. Shepard was hurt. Tate served the 4-game suspension, and then I believe he missed a couple games at the end of the year. Slayton was hurt early on. He came on, but when he had his big games, no one was looking at Darius Slayton and said, boy, we were counting on this. So I agree. I just think playing together, it will be a little risky to just assume that Slayton is going to be the number one guy, and then all of a sudden the guy who got Shepard 2 rounds later, if that is what it turns out to be, is looking at, you know, he's sitting high and pretty because you didn't account for the fact that Shepard was hurt last year when Slayton was going off.
Any other guys that could end up fantasy relevant? I know Corey Coleman is someone people would love to see pop after all these years, and rookie Benjamin Victor is a deep dynasty fave.
Yeah, you know, it's the Giants have, you know, this is one of those years where they have an established top three. Obviously, they want that top three to stay healthy. We've already talked about, you know, Tate and Shepard and Slayton. The depth at wide receiver for the Giants, I expect at least four or five of these guys to be at the ready to step in. You know, Corey Coleman, obviously you mentioned. David Sills, who, you know, obviously is a popular name for college football fans. He was the kid who was the quarterback back when he was 13 at Lane Kiffin recruited for USC. He went to West Virginia. He was Will Grier, one of Will Grier's top targets. Was an undrafted guy, spent the season last year on the Giants practice squad. He's opened a ton of eyes this summer. So between Sills, you mentioned Victor, Austin Mack, Victor's teammate at Ohio State, Derek Dillon from LSU, who obviously was not one of their main guys, he has shown up pretty well this summer. Another guy, C.J. Board, who they claimed on waivers from Jacksonville, has also looked pretty good. So if I'm a fantasy owner, I'm kind of watching those Giants receivers. I want to see on Labor Day which guys make the team, which guys are sitting there on the practice squad, because I think some of these guys could be fantasy relevant as pickups as soon as one of these top guys, if they enter a situation where they're physically unable to play. So you nailed a couple. Sills is the guy. I think, you know, Daniel Jones was asked about him last week, and he said he's a guy you trust. And a quarterback doesn't say that if a guy hasn't impressed not just the players, but the coaches. So Sills is the guy that I would keep an eye on. If things were to go wrong with the top three early on, you know, he could be a guy, even if he's on the practice squad, could be a guy who gets signed to the active roster, and then, you know, second week of October, somebody picked him up and he's thrown him in their lineup.
I was a Sills guy in the draft process last year. I wish I would have mentioned his name in the question. I left him off because he didn't make the team last year. I wasn't so sure, but it's good to hear he has a shot at relevance, because I really do. I thought he had great tape and he's a fun player to watch. All right,
100% agree.
The fantasy headliner in New York is running back Saquon Barkley. We are drafting him early and often. He currently has an 80 of two, so yeah, but this but this is year three for Barkley. How has this guy developed in your eyes as someone who has been at every camp with him, and what can we expect from him in terms of production in 2020?
You know, I think if it's possible, I think Saquon has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I think he's going into this year knowing that it's not necessarily about what's written or what's said, but he's kind of in a big spot here. You know, you're talking about, you know, Christian McCaffrey is kind of the lead dog in the NFL right now. He's kind of the new thing, the way Saquon was last year. He's a shiny toy. He produced and he deserves it. He got the big contract. I think Saquon looks at this as saying, you know what? He was hurt last year. He had a high ankle sprain. He fought back to get back on the field for a team that ended up as a losing team that basically fired everybody. So he's coming back. He was never 100% last year, but you know he's a gamer. His pass production, pass protection dipped a little bit last year. So I think that's a focus for him. And I think the presence of Deion Lewis, as I mentioned earlier, kind of puts a little pressure on Barkley a little bit to kind of clean things up pass protection-wise, because Lewis is one of the best guys in the league now at pass protection. You know, and it kind of worked a little bit in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. That I'm not saying that Lewis is going to be taking targets away from Saquon Barkley, but if Saquon Barkley continues to struggle in pass protection, you could see a guy like Lewis being more trusted in those 2 and 4 minute situations if Saquon struggles. That being said, look, DeMarco Murray, Ezekiel Elliott, how many more Dallas running backs under Jason Garrett should I mention before you get to Saquon Barkley and you say, this guy's going to have a monster year if things go well with the offensive line? He's already running a lot more routes in practice than he did last year with the Giants. So I think Saquon, that ADP is probably right where it needs to be. The only concern, obviously, is I think there needs to be a little patience because of their schedule early. I mean, we're talking about a new team with a new system, and they open up with Pittsburgh, Chicago, and I think it's Dallas, and then the Rams. So those are four very good defenses, but look, Saquon's going to get the touches to produce. It's just a matter of what you expect from him, and I do expect big things.
Well, we in the fantasy community would love big things from Saquon. He's an absolute stud, so we're here for it, Art. Drafters love a good handcuff. Who would you say is the clear number two behind Barkley?
That's a tough call because they have Wayne Gallman, who was RB2 last year and really became RB1 when Barkley went out with the ankle. But towards the end of last year, the former coaching staff kind of faded him a little bit, and Gallman kind of faded into the background. Now you've got not only Team Brass, who didn't draft Wayne Gallman, he's from a previous regime, but you've brought in Deion Lewis. There's a rookie that the Giants have from Maryland, Javon Leak, who really has opened eyes with his speed. But if I'm taking a handcuff, I'm probably taking Deion Lewis, just based on I don't know if they'll run him as much as you know they've run Saquon. But that would be the handcuff, especially in PPR, because I do believe if Saquon is not in the picture, Lewis will be their guy in that 2-minute, 4-minute hurry up. And I think in that situation, he could be very productive.
Last but certainly not least is the tight end room. And we're finally here. We're finally going to talk about Evan Engram more. I love him. You love him. The first time we talked in 2018, you raved about him, and it sounds like you are again. Let's talk some Evan Engram, Art.
It's health, David. It's health. If Evan Engram plays 16 games, I'm convinced he'll have 8 to 10 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards. He hasn't played 16 games yet in the season. He played 8 games last year, hurt his foot, ended up trying to come back from the foot, and couldn't do it in practice, and he ended up having surgery, and he missed the last 8 games of the year. If Engram is healthy, and again, it's a risk, so you want to back yourself up at tight end, but maybe even back him up with another tight end with the Giants, who played pretty well as a rookie last year, Caden Smith. Engram is just, other than Saquon Barkley, when you match up position by position, just based on pure talent on the field, he's the second best mismatch that the Giants have. Offense, defense, special teams, doesn't matter. You can make the argument that he's the second most talented player on the team. And the head coach, who you know comes from the Belichick tree, the Saban tree, Joe Judge is not blowing smoke about players. I mean, he went the first 2.5 months without saying a player's name in the media because he didn't want anybody to get way too out in front of themselves with expectations or anything like that. He loves Evan Engram. He talked about Evan Engram, how he loves watching him practice. He goes up to him and says, "Don't disappoint me today. I love watching you practice. You set the standard." Engram's been very good in kind of that intra-squad mode. Jones finds him. They connected last year. In Jones's first game, it's no coincidence that Engram had his biggest game. So if you're looking for a guy on the Giants and you're willing to roll the dice a little bit on the idea that guys who get injured early don't necessarily earn that injury-prone label, that they just have to learn how to take care of their body, Engram is one of those guys that, again, I would be all in. Yes, it's a boom or a bust situation, but if you nail it, he's a top 5 tight end. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think the Giants will use him to his best caliber as long as he's on the field. And right now, he looks as healthy as he's ever been.
I would personally love to see a fully healthy Evan Engram play all 16 games and for this scenario to play out. You mentioned Caden Smith. Does he have any standalone value, or is it a situation where if Engram gets hurt, then he becomes relevant?
You know, it's interesting because Caden Smith has gotten some attention. You know, he's gotten some attention from Daniel Jones a little bit. And I do think that there are times where the Giants may run some 2 tight end stuff, which will get Caden Smith some looks. He may have some standalone value. I don't know how early I would look to take him, but I would be comfortable, you know, at this point, I would definitely be comfortable at saying if you can't get Engram, I would make a play for Caden Smith in the draft it's not going to be super early, but also for the same reason that we love Ingram, if somehow if Ingram is not on the field, now you're talking about a guy who steps in and was pretty productive last year as a rookie who didn't even start the season with the Giants. He was with the 49ers. And if the 49ers thought enough of Caden Smith to keep him on the roster early, even though they had George Kittle, and the Giants essentially stole Caden Smith from the 49ers. The 49ers waived him on a Saturday and were hoping to squeeze him through on game day on a Monday and put him back on the roster because they needed a spot. And the Giants, with the constantly churning the bottom of their roster, plucked Caden Smith from waivers. They had high priority. And the 49ers, I think, were a little upset that Caden Smith was gone. I'm sure they're not crying about it considering they have George Kittle, but I think they wanted him as kind of a 1-2 punch. And now obviously they went out and they signed Jordan Reed. I think that role would have been Caden Smith. So a long-winded answer to your question, I do think Caden Smith has some value. I would just kind of play my cards the right way and not expect too much if Ingram is 100% healthy.
Well, that was an absolute fantastic nugget there, Art, you just dropped on us with that Caden Smith insight. Thank you so much. I know listeners will appreciate it. All right, we got one last question, Art, but it's a toughie. We're going to make you put yourself out there. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the Giants in 2020?
That is a good one, and I kind of hinted at it, so I'm going to go with it. Daniel Jones is a top 8 quarterback this year. Fantasy-wise. I don't think it'll necessarily translate in wins for the Giants, but I do believe that if this offense stays healthy and Jones plays for a full season, I think you are going to get fantasy production from Daniel Jones consistently throughout the course of the season. You may have to deal with a couple clunkers, but at the end of the day, like you mentioned earlier, when you have 2 games of 4 touchdown passes, another game of 5 touchdown passes, you do have the ability to run a little bit. I think Jones, had he closed out the year last year, like, let's not forget, he had an ankle sprain that allowed Eli Manning to come back into the lineup for 2 games last year. Had Jones played those 2 games, you're probably looking at another 2-3 touchdown passes on top of what Jones did last year. So that's my bold prediction. Daniel Jones will be a top 8 quarterback this season.
Well, it might not be a lot of wins for the Giants. That could be some wins for one of my dynasty teams. I love this prediction, Art. I'm going to take it. I'm going to use all the confirmation bias I can get. You've said it all. This was absolutely fantastic. Once again, thank you so much. Let the people know, where can they find all your stuff?
Well, you can read all my stuff on NorthJersey.com and across the USA Today network, so we're in USA Today as well. Put a little plug, if you love our stuff, you know, you can get it across the network. If you, you know, can do without a Starbucks and you want to subscribe there. My 2 social media channels, Twitter and Instagram, is Art_Stapleton, and Stapleton is STAPLETON.
Well, thank you so much once again, Art, and have a safe and healthy rest of your 2020.
You as well, David, and keep in touch.
All right, thanks so much. Daniel Jones, QB1 tier. You are now dialed in.